Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Tuesday, June 20th, 2017. The Royals win again. They beat the Boston Red Sox 4-2 last night. You heard Ned Yost talking about Jason Hammel. That continues to be a big storyline for the Royals and their recent success. The turnaround of Jason Hammel and the refusal of that song to end. Jason Hammel now 7 innings last night, 7 hits, just 2 runs, again, no walks, 4 strikeouts. He only threw 91 pitches in his 7 innings, and so there was consideration, as you heard Ned Yost tell us, they considered sending him back out for the 8th inning if the Royals had not scored those 2 runs in the bottom of the 7th. They did. So they went to Mike Minor, who almost blew it, but he did not. And then Kelvin Herrera got saved, number 16. Hopefully Kelvin Herrera is turning things around as well. And so now Jason Hammel, in his last 6 outings, has thrown 37 and two-thirds innings while giving up 34 hits, a strikeout to walk of 28-7, and an ERA of 3.35. With a 1.09 whip. He has been very good in his last 6 games. The only blip there was that game against Detroit where he was terrific for the first 4 innings and then lost control in the 5th inning. Every other start has at least been a quality start, and you're talking about games against the New York Yankees in Yankee Stadium, home against Cleveland, home against Houston, home against Boston. You throw in the San Francisco game, that's the bad team that he faced, but predominantly against good playoff-contending teams in the American League, and he's done very well. Another very impressive stat from Jason Hammel, he has only walked 1 batter in his last 4 starts. 4 starts against Cleveland, Houston, San Francisco, and Boston, where he's gone 6 2/3, 6 2/3, and 7 innings. He's only walked 1 batter while striking out 19. So a 19-1 strikeout to walk in his last 4 starts. In his last 3 games, he has a 1.74 ERA and a 0.97 whip. So any way you slice it and dice it, Jason Hammel is hot right now, and he's helping the Royals climb back into contention. Contention, Jake Pounders, 1 game away from you recognizing that the Royals are in it. But let me tell you this, 1 game is significant because that's how many games the Royals are out of the wild card. 1 game. Now, they're tied with a bunch of other teams, L.A., Baltimore, the Royals, Texas, Toronto, all 1 game behind Minnesota and Tampa, who are tied right now for that second wild card spot. If the season ended today, and trust me, it does not, the Boston Red Sox would be the top wild card team at 39-31, and then Minnesota and Tampa are both 1 game above 500, 34-33 for Minnesota, 37-36 for Tampa. And then right behind them, a whole bunch of teams at 1 game below 500. The Royals are one of those teams. But when you look at those teams, I mean, Minnesota, I still think the Royals are better than Minnesota. I think the Royals are better than Tampa. We just saw the Royals take 3 of 4 against the Angels. You tell me. Then you've got Baltimore. Baltimore's a solid squad. They can hit home runs, but I'm not in love with their pitching. I think the Royals can hang with Baltimore. Are the Royals better than Texas? Now, that kind of scares you if they get Cole Hamels back healthy. And that's a team that certainly, I think, will look to buy if they feel like they're in it. But the Texas Rangers, they certainly have flaws. I think their bullpen is flawed as well. We'll see. But Texas is one of those teams. Toronto, they got off to a very poor start, just like the Royals. They've turned things around. But in the past, we've seen the Royals. They're able to hold their own against Toronto. Seattle's an interesting squad. They're 2 games under 500. But I don't see anything that makes them that much better than the Royals. Then the rest of the teams, don't worry about them. But the Royals are right there. And if you look at the teams, I don't think there's any team that is definitively better than the Royals. You could probably say Boston. The Royals beat Boston last night, but Boston has a nice cushion right now over the Royals. But the rest of these teams that are vying for that second spot, the Royals can hang in there. So we've focused quite a bit on the division race because Cleveland has not been able to pull away from the rest of the AL Central. The Royals are a real factor in the wild card race as well, only a game out. Now, last night, besides the Royals winning against the Boston Red Sox, the Indians hammered the Orioles 12-0. Corey Kluber, again, looking very good, and the Indians' offense looking very good, so that's scary. The Indians continue to play well, continue to turn their season around, and Baltimore gets hammered. So that was it's mixed. You'd like to see the Indians lose, but Baltimore, one of those teams that's battling for a wild card spot along with the Kansas City Royals. So now when you look at the AL Central standings, the Indians 37-31, winners of six in a row. Is this, are they making their move now? Are the Cleveland Indians fixed? Are they ready now that Corey Kluber's back at the top of that rotation, pitching well? Are they ready to jump ahead of everyone else in the Central? They're making their move, at least giving themselves a little bit of separation. They have a 2.5-game lead now over the Twins and a 3.5-game lead over the Kansas City Royals. But no reason to be pessimistic right now. The Royals are playing very well. They have gone 8-2 in their last 10 games. They have started this homestand off right with a nice victory over the Boston Red Sox, coming off of a 7-2 road trip to the West Coast. They got a couple of more games against Boston, and then another team that's right in the same spot as the Royals, the Toronto Blue Jays, come to town, so we'll see them head-to-head with the Blue Jays. But right now, very, very excited to see where the Royals are headed. And again, another reason why this is real and why this is not just smoke and mirrors, Jason Hamill, what he has done in his last five or six starts has been very, very good. And this is the Jason Hamill that the Royals thought they were getting when they signed him to a deal late in the free agency period. Then you look at the offense. Haas with a huge home run last night, his 8th home run of the year. So he continues to hit well with a 308 average and a 366 on base. 468 slug could be higher, but you know what? I'll take what I can get when he's hitting 308 with a 366 on base. And Whit Merrifield, he was two-hit Whit last night with a couple of hits atop of the lineup and drove in a run. And so he's up to 292 with a 333 on base. So good stuff last night from Kauffman Stadium as the Royals beat the Red Sox 4-2. And all the Red Sox fans that were born and raised here in Kansas City went home to the suburbs, disappointed. Nate Bucati.
Yeah. I thought the at-bat by Whit Merrifield was terrific in the seventh inning after the triple by Drew Butera. I don't know how many pitches he fouled off there after he got down 0-2, but obviously the Red Sox needed a strikeout there, and he just refused to be struck out. He kept fighting pitches off, and finally, look, it's a seeing eye grounder. If he hits it, you know, just a couple feet either direction, it's maybe an out, and they don't get the run. But you don't have a chance if you don't put the ball in play, and he did. And Whit Merrifield has been an amazing difference for this team. I saw Nick Capel, who tweets out a lot of good information about the Royals, that the Royals started 10-20. Since then, they have the second best record in the American League. That's since May 8th. And I'll bet you that about coincides with the time that Whit Merrifield started playing on a regular basis for the Kansas City Royals. You know, Raul Mondesi makes the team out of spring training. It was obvious now that he wasn't ready for the big leagues, and he was a disaster at the bottom of the order. And I know a lot of people at the time were saying, well, he's not the only reason the offense is struggling, and that was certainly true, but what a difference it's made to have a player like Whit Merrifield in the lineup compared to what they were getting out of Raul Mondesi. It's made a huge difference, and it seems like so many times when he gets the opportunity to affect a game, he does it in a positive way. And all the other stuff you said about Hamill being good lately is extremely encouraging. Lorenzo Cain is red hot in the month of June, and the Royals, beat up on two really bad teams, the San Diego and San Francisco, but since then they've been beating decent teams. The Angels are not a bad team, and the Red Sox are a good team, and they have won, what, 4 out of 5 against those two teams right now? So the Royals are in contention, man. They certainly are, and that was a big win last night in a close game.
And let Whit Merrifield be a lesson to all of us that sometimes you just can't judge a book by its cover, because a lot of people, and I think the Royals, you can include people in that organization, were unwilling to view him as an everyday player last year when he showed some promise because of his age and because how long he'd been in the organization. But and then at the beginning of this season, they were unwilling to view him as an everyday player because they gave the opportunity to Raul Mondesi. And now we're talking about Whit Merrifield being one of the guys that's helped turn this offense around. He's hitting leadoff, and they depend on him to get on base, to actually give some of the big boppers in the lineup opportunities to drive in runs, something that was foreign to the players hitting behind Alcides Escobar when he was hitting leadoff earlier in the year, and I'll throw Alex Gordon in that boat as well. And so a cautionary tale. It doesn't always work out that way, but just because a guy is a little bit advanced in age and hasn't gotten his opportunity, guess what? Sometimes they don't get the opportunity they deserve. And when the hand is forced and they come through and they play well, throw your hands up and say, you know what, maybe we were wrong at the beginning of the season when we gave the shot to Mondesi. Maybe we were wrong when we felt like it felt like he was being labeled as a utility player last year. And maybe this guy's not going to ever be an all-star second baseman, but the Royals don't need an all-star second baseman. They need a guy who can just come in, play good defense, and hit reasonably well. He's been better than that. But for a long time, that second base spot has been a black hole. And he has been able to step in and give terrific production. He gives good energy. He's their kind of player. He's their kind of guy. And I'll be honest with you, he's my kind of guy. And if you're driving around, it seems like he's your kind of guy. I don't even know who I'm talking to, but I could tell you he's your kind of guy. You like him, don't you? People driving their cars. Now, yeah, I like him. You're nodding your head. We all like two-hit wit. And so just because a guy is not 21 years old and number 42 on the top 100 MLB pipeline prospects list, doesn't mean he's not a ball player. And I'm glad a guy like that is getting a chance. Seems like a couple of things have had to happen for him to get this chance, and now he's finally got it. He's got a hold of it. How long does it last? Hell, I don't know. But it's fun watching him, and he's helped this baseball team in a number of different ways, Nate.
You know, he there was kind of an interesting exchange before the game yesterday. I was out at Kauffman Stadium interviewing players before the game, and Joel Goldberg wanted to ask Whit Merrifield about playing against his old college buddy, Jackie Bradley Jr.
Yeah.
And Whit Merrifield lost his center field job at South Carolina to Jackie Bradley Jr. And so I was there.
A badass at South Carolina.
Yeah. And I was there interviewing, I was recording the interview too, as Joel was asking him some of these questions, and Merrifield said, well, I played center field my sophomore year and won defensive player of the year in the ACC, but somehow still lost my job. Like he just threw it in there, you know?
Right.
And it's that attitude. You can tell every time you talk to Whit Merrifield, you can tell that there's a little bit of a chip on the shoulder. And I respect the heck out of that, because that's clearly one of the things that's motivated him in his career. The guy believes in himself. He does not need anybody else to tell him that he's good enough to play at the major league level or play anywhere else. And, you know, he got one of the biggest hits in maybe college baseball history, too, when he was at South Carolina in the College World Series. But I just like the fact that he threw that in there. You know, like you always hear the great ones that can remember when they were slighted by somebody else and how that motivates them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not comparing him to Tom Brady, but we've all seen when Tom Brady breaks down in tears talking about draft day and how much that motivated him the rest of his career. It's like Whit Merrifield didn't need somebody else to bring it up. He threw it out there. Yeah, by the way, I was actually ACC Defensive Player of the Year.
Does it motivate him that you think that he played in the ACC?
What? Or I'm sorry, SEC.
Right.
Yeah.
You're trying to piss him off again, aren't you?
Yeah, see? There you go.
Right now he's listening like, I told him yesterday.
Yeah.
No, you're right. Hey, look, he needs it. It works for him.
Yeah, and
It works for them.
Yeah, like I said, I respect the heck out of it because, you know, look, we talk about it. Some guys get more of a chance than others, right? Like Mike Moustakas was able to hit really poorly for a long time because they were convinced he was going to be a good player. A player like Whit Merrifield, going back to Raul Ibanez, when he finally got his shot at about the same age as Merrifield, they don't get as long to prove it. But he's gotten the opportunity, and as soon as he got the opportunity, he's taken advantage of it, and he's made a huge difference for this team. And like you said, at the leadoff spot. And he's talked about, I asked him about it last homestand. He said, look, there's been kind of a hex on the leadoff spot for this team, so I'm just trying to...
A hex on second base.
You know, hold it down. Yeah, right. Both the leadoff spot and second base. And he's kind of answered both of those questions for this team right now.
Yeah, after what he did last year, and then after how well he hit in the spring, you know, he had to be thinking, like, okay, what do I got to do? Come on, I won this job. Come on.
Right.
And then he goes down. And what did he do? What did he, like 400 at AAA?
Yeah.
And that's...
He didn't pout about it.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. And so, and that's why I'm somewhat enthused by Soler when he gets sent down, which mm-hmm. is going to be disappointing. He's going down there and rake. That's what you want.
Yep.
That's what you want to see. And so, look, will it last forever? I don't know. How long is he going to lock down second base? Don't know that either. All I know is right now, he has solved that riddle. He's been the answer to the question. Who can hit leadoff and who can play second base? Your answer is two-hit wit. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We were talking about Whit Merrifield in the last segment, so maybe we should play some Whit Merrifield postgame as two-hit wit got us two hits in the leadoff spot. And helped the Royals beat the Boston Red Sox last night 4-2. Here is Whit Merrifield after the game.
Anytime I got to, you know, run on third, listen to outs, I'm trying to drive the ball to center. Just getting a pitch up and trying to drive it to center. You know, that's the approach. He threw me some pitches to hit, and I kept missing them. Then late in the count, he started pounding in, throwing the little two-seamer inside, and he really made a good pitch. Just happened to find a hole.
Were there four-seamers to start off with?
Yeah, he's got a little four-seam cut when it's away, and then late he started throwing a pretty good two-seam in, which I didn't really know about. You know, I didn't know. I knew he had a two-seam, but I didn't know it was quite as good as it was. So he had good stuff, and I was fortunate to find a hole.
You almost got one down the right field line, too. I mean, did you think that had a chance?
For a split second, yeah. You know, it was a little slider, kind of down and away, and saw it early and put a good swing on it. Just caught it a little bit late. But, you know, in that situation, just battling, trying to put a ball in play. Got the infield in, so you got a little more window for error.
What's your confidence level when you step up there in that situation now compared to, you know, last year when you came up?
You know, confident, just like I was last year when I came up. I guess I'm a little more used to those situations, kind of with the crowd noise and all that. So I guess that would be the only difference is I'm a little more accustomed, you know, to those type of moments here. But, yeah, I mean, I'm confident. You know, I know sometimes it's going to get the job done, hopefully more times than not. But I know sometimes I'm going to hit a ball hard right at somebody. Tonight, it just, you know, it went my way.
You guys had obviously a very good road trip. And, you know, maybe the talent that you guys were playing was a little bit lesser. It's all major leagues. But the Red Sox came in here hot in first place in the East. What does this mean for, like, kicking this homestand off with a win against them?
Yeah, I mean, you can look at records of other teams all you want. But everyone's a big leaguer here. Yeah, there's really no down talent. Everyone's good. So we know what the Red Sox are. We know they're a good team. And it was nice to get this first game under our belt, and hopefully we can come out tomorrow and win the series.
How about Hamill tonight? It's, I think, five straight quality starts. Ever since June, he's been – something clicked with him a little bit. What was it like to play behind him?
Hamill was good. Was really good tonight. You know, I think he just made one, you know, hung a slider to Jackie that he popped out. But other than that, you know, he made some really good pitches. He mixed up his pitches, and he kept the ball where he wanted to put it. And when he's doing that, he'll have success like he has the past, was it, been four starts. So – It was really fun to play behind him today.
Todd Lebo said five straight quality starts for Jason Hamill. Wrong, Todd. It's four
incorrect.
Straight. Four straight.
Incorrect.
Whit Merrifield probably looked at you like, it's four straight. Todd. Boy, that Todd can be a real smartass.
Todd Lebo.
He was really bugging Drew Butera after the game.
In the clubhouse, why did Lebo do the hair flip?
I don't know.
I'm a hard ass.
I don't think
sorry.
He can do that.
Neither could I. You want to hear Drew Butera?
I was watching it last night. Yeah.
Well, so you don't want to hear it because he's...
No, I do want to hear it. No.
I've already seen it. I've heard it.
No, I watched it. I'm
good.
About everyone else.
Yeah, I don't really want to hear it either. I've already cut it up and I'm done with it.
See? Let's move on then.
Let's do move on.
Drew Butera is the Royals' backup catcher, known for his hair flip. Mm-hmm. Here is Drew Butera after the game.
Well, he said a few people have to fall down for me to hit a triple, so you know, I was just trying to get on base, see if we can get something going. And
stop. What laugh was that? Who the hell was that? Was that like the Joker in the background?
I don't know.
So it's like, who the hell was that? Was that Lebo?
No.
Who the hell was it?
Fall down for me to hit a triple, so. Fall down for me to hit a triple, so. Fall down for me to hit a triple.
Who the hell is that in there?
Fall down for me to hit a triple, so.
Sound like a clown in there. What did he get the old, you know, the flowers that squirt you with the water in the face or something, or what?
So,
yeah, listen.
So.
Play the whole sound. Now I'm envisioning some, like, Doo-Doo the Clown in the background on some stilts listening to Jupiter talk. Play the sound.
A few people have to fall down for me to hit a triple, so. You know, I was just trying to get on base, see if we can get something going, and, you know, got the good part of the wood on it, and worked out. A couple of people fell down, and I got the third.
You surprised he dived for that?
A little bit, but I honestly thought I caught it. I put my head down to hit first base, and as I looked up, I was like, oh, God, and I heard Rusty say get on three. I was like, what? So I was like, all right, cool.
Drew, what have you seen in Jason Hamill these last four or five starts? And you've been working with him a lot, obviously. What's the change?
You know, he's just really aggressive. For me, you know, he's throwing all pitches for strikes, and you know, I think what's really opened up a lot of his other pitches is that fastball away. You know, he's been able to command that, and you know, when you get ahead with that, it opens up. You know, he's got a really good slider that he can strike people out. He's throwing the curveball early for strikes, and he's got a really good sinker. So, for me, when you establish that fastball away, it opens up a lot of other doors.
Ed said they kind of found a little mechanical thing four or five starts ago. I mean, have you noticed that he's been that much sharper?
That's not my area. I just put the numbers down and catch them. I'm sure, I mean, whether it's a mechanical thing or a feel thing or something, you know, I know he's been working hard with Dave, and, you know, when they figured something out. Obviously, he's throwing the ball really great for us.
But you can see the difference from earlier in the year yourself when you're back there catching him, that he's just that much sharper.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's executing his pitches, so. That makes him sharper, yeah.
Thanks, sir.
Yep.
Oh, Todd.
Well, not heard there was when Todd tried to make a joke with him about getting pinch run for, and he did not seem to appreciate that at all. And it seemed like that kind of led to his terse response to his question about the mechanical adjustments by Jason Hamill.
What did Todd say?
I don't know. It was kind of awkward. He was trying to make a joke, like, hey, you don't have any problem with the fact that Ned, like, pinch ran for you, do you? Something like, you know.
Right.
And Drew Butera did not, I don't think he realized Todd was trying to joke around with him a little bit. So he's like, well, I mean, obviously it was the right decision, you know. I mean, you know, Torres is faster than me, so, you know.
So Todd had irritated him already, yeah, and then yeah. tried to follow up with the mechanical yeah. issue, and Drew yeah. Butera's like, that's not my area.
I think Drew was wanted to answer a question from him after that.
Huh. That's very interesting. Was that Todd giggling?
I don't think so. We've heard Todd laugh.
I'd like to know who that is though, because I like their laugh. I'm just telling you. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I mean, Juby hit a triple, so.
It's like, was someone being tickled?
Down for me to hit a triple. So.
That was a funny joke that Drew told there. You know, it tickled the
hell out of whoever that was.
Yeah,
that's good. But Todd did not tickle Drew Butera.
No, he didn't. His joke about the pinch runner did not tickle Drew Butera.
Man, oh man, Lebo doing work last night, yeah, making people mad, asking people questions. I don't know.
He gets down there. He probes. That's what Todd does.
I don't know if he does that, but we'll take probes. A break. Back after this on WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Before the game, some Boston reporters gathered around Mustaka and asked him some questions that perhaps he did not enjoy. We'll talk to a Boston reporter, Trini Kuznarek, at 7:30, and ask her why her fellow Boston reporters are harassing Mustaka. Here is Moose before the game talking to Ben Affleck.
Power you've shown. Obviously, you have power, but more than you've ever shown in your career.
No, I hit some homers in the minor leagues. Hit 36 one year, so I know I've got some pop. But you know, you play in Kauffman, you play here. It's not a place that's friendly for homers. It's a tough place to hit them. So you just try to hit the gaps, you know, hit doubles, get on base, and kind of play that kind of baseball.
Mm-hmm. You've obviously heard all of the rumors associated with you. How do you feel about that? Obviously, it's probably great that you're going to become a free agent. Every player looks forward to that, but you must love it here.
Yeah, I don't even pay attention to any of that stuff. I'm a Kansas City Royal. Going to be a Kansas City Royal until I'm told otherwise. So, go out there every single day and try to help win a ball game for this team. Been here my entire life as a baseball player. It's been 10 years in this organization, so this is more like a family than anything. So, I love being here, love everybody here, and couldn't say enough about this organization from top to bottom.
So you would like to work something out here?
You know what, dude? You throwing words in my mouth like that's pretty interesting. Like I just said before, I'm focused on winning ball games each and every day. I don't think about anything other than that. Cool. All right, guys. Thank you.
Power you've shown. Obviously, you have power.
So I wish I had left the recorder rolling because, you know, after he said, all right, guys, thank you, he turned around like, you know, the interview was over, and it was, but he was grabbing his ball cap to walk, kind of storm off, and he threw out a couple. That was a great question, dude. Great question. Great effort. Nice try there.
Lebo's going to punch you.
And he'll always be rolling, he says.
ABR, man. Yeah.
I got in so much trouble one time. Like my first or second year here, something like that happened. And Todd looked at me and goes, well, were you there? I said, yep. He goes, what happened? I said, what?
Prove it.
I stopped it. And he goes, and he's very fatherly.
Yep.
He goes, what will you do next time? I said, keep rolling. He goes, yep. And then he smacked me right in the mouth.
Yeah, so yeah, I should have kept rolling, but you know, like I said,
well,
at that point,
for that.
Mustaka said turned around and was, you know, getting into his locker and walking off. But
like getting into his locker,
my Mustaka.
Like he was like, I'm
out. Turning around and getting something out of his locker. I don't know, but
I'd get in my locker to get away from the Boston media.
But I'm glad I was there rolling in the first place. I don't know if anybody else from Kansas City media was there, because that was about the same time Ned Yost was getting ready to start talking, but I saw that there was some Boston media members that were kind of hovering around by his locker, and I thought, if he's going to talk to them, I want to record it because...
Do you know who it was?
No,
did
I don't, and I'll admit, I don't know my Boston reporters all that well, so, I don't know what his name was or who he was, but I think there were three guys there that I didn't recognize, so I assumed they were Boston reporters.
Could you identify him in the lineup?
I was just wondering, is that Nick Cafardo that writes all of these national baseball rumors?
I don't think it was him. I see him enough on MLB Network when I do stuff on MLB Network. He reports for them a lot. But I've seen him on TV, and I don't think it was him.
Was it him?
No, it wasn't
this
him.
Guy?
Yeah, no, it wasn't him.
Jake, have you seen him around town in the last day or so? Jake? This is a very professional and appropriate Twitter avatar. We could all learn something from this. Look at this.
It is.
Don't you feel like following him, Kansas City? He will welcome you to his account. I just asked that because he does a lot of national baseball rumors, and yeah. So I wonder, was he digging?
No, I don't think it was him.
He's too nice. Look at him.
Yeah. Well, and I didn't think that the reporter was really trying to put words in Mike Moustakas' mouth. They're just trying to get, you know, trying to find out where he stands on this type of thing. But, you know, people ask me on Twitter, why do you think Moustakas got angry? And I think it's just, you know, first of all, you know, Moustakas has he's got a little bit of a temper on him. So if he gets flustered, I think he was a little flustered by it. You know, that gets him upset. And I just think that, you know, it's a situation where he's about to become a free agent. And I don't think he wants a lot of times guys like that, they don't want to be asked about their contract situations because there's not much they can say that's going to turn out good for them. I mean, right now, he wants to...
He's sitting in with us. Come on. Go ahead.
Right now, I think he and guys like Ian Hosmer want to show respect to the organization that they play for and the organization that drafted them and gave them their opportunity, but they're probably going to leave. And so all they want to do is say positive things about the organization, but they don't want to say anything that's going to be used, that's going to be, you know, held against them later. So when the guy says, so you do want to stay here, you know, you do want to work out a deal here, well...
There's no right answer because yeah. Whatever you say is going to be twisted. Cody Tapp hosted Baseball Tonight last night, and so I was one of the guests, and he asked me, do you think this will be a distraction? They're not going to let this become a distraction, are they? I said, well, look, this is something that they have not dealt with before. They haven't dealt with this line of questioning. Mm-hmm. They've handled the slump question when Moose, people wanted Moose sent down early in his career. Should the Royals sell? All these different kinds of things, you know, and then getting into the intense media scrutiny involved in the postseason and the World Series. So they've answered all those questions, but they haven't answered, hey, do you want to stay? Do you want to sign a long-term deal? I mean, now when it's really up against it, have you hearing these rumors you're going to be traded? And so I don't think it's out of line at all for them to be somewhat irritated by this, especially if like right now they have to be thinking, the competitors that they are, we're a game out of the wild card, 3.5 out of first place. What are you asking me if I'm going to be traded for? What are you asking me about these rumors?
It's too bad Danny Klingscale wasn't there.
And what's this all about?
Right.
Vargy threw the ball great for us tonight.
That's right.
And maybe it was Nick Cofardo. He's written about it. He's got the quotes in here in his article.
Was it you or not?
What's this all about?
The guy that was there had a lot more gray hair. Like Cofardo has browner hair there.
Let me go ahead and
Let me
go ahead and tell you this.
Photoshop.
Most Twitter avatars, most pictures people put on Twitter are not current.
Yeah, now that I think of it, maybe I think it probably was Nick Cofardo.
What's this all about?
I don't know.
You had a lot to say yesterday. What are you saying now? Huh? Yeah, you sit there. That smile on your face. Yeah, we'll talk to you in the next commercial break.
What's this all about?
Yeah, that's what Danny would have said. He would have said, what's this all about?
What's this all about?
I'm going to go one more time.
Right. What's this all about?
Vargy threw the ball great for us tonight, or today. He did a fantastic job, you know, keeping the ball down in the zone. You know, challenged them, got them swinging and missing a lot, and, came out with the W today.
I'm going to go one more time. You had the biggest hit of the game. Can you talk about it?
You know, Vargy had a great game tonight.
If that was Nick Cofardo, that's what he should have done. I'm going to do this one more time. Here we go. So, I don't know what to tell you. Now, the cat's got his tongue over here. You don't want to say nothing now. You got a chance. We'll ask Trini about him. See if he likes to stir up trouble. Is he a troublemaker?
I mean, did those questions sound like he was stirring up trouble?
Yeah. I don't know. I'd like to think he was. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB, 730, Trini Kuznarek. Then we'll chat with Gary Lezak about the weather. Jamie Bluma will be in studio. Trini has just decided to come on at 7 o'clock, so we'll make that switch.
Fine.
I'm going to have Todd Lebo smack you too when he comes in here. Both of you. How about that?
Yeah, I dare him.
Oh, he would. He's nails.
Dude, I'd slip. I'd slip it.
Todd cannot be intimidated, I'm just telling you.
Yeah, he certainly
can. No, he can't. I don't think he can.
I could use a good slap.
It's good.
Come here.
I'm going to tell you what. I like it because sometimes you need, it's like a cold splash of reality in your face. Yep. In the form of a hand.
Nah, I'm good.
You know? You're good. You seen in between rounds when a trainer has to smack his fighter in the mouth. Oh, you do too.
Nah.
It gets you ready. It teaches you a lesson.
I love it. Todd's effort. He can try to smack me.
Yeah.
I'll go straight to HR.
Well, he is HR.
No, Sandra's HR.
Is she the head of HR now?
Yeah, she's head of HR.
We've got a conversation to have coming up.
Sandra's in the house.
Sandra's on TV. Congratulations on the move to HR.
Yep.
We're so excited for you, really.
She's the pay raise.
How about Ned Yost? Ned Yost, Royals manager, was speaking with the media. Were there any clowns laughing in the background for this one? Throwing coconut cream pies at each other or nothing like that?
So.
I gotta know who that laugh is. So. Fantastic.
So.
Need him sitting right here for the whole show.
So.
Here Ned Yost discusses Jason Hamill's very good outing last night.
I mean, just, you know, seven strong innings. You know, Ella mislocated a slider to Bradley that he had out of the park. But besides that, I mean, he was fantastic. Since him and Dave made that little mechanical tweak, I mean, he's really been on a roll. And, you know, we were thinking long and hard if we didn't score, sending him back out in the eighth, because he's done such a great job of managing his pitch count and, you know, making quality pitches.
He's been very good the last four starts and five of the last six. Here, Ned Yost talks about the performance from Mike Minor and Kelvin Herrera.
We had Jack up for the top of the order. We brought Minor in that spot because it was pretty good lefty matchup, and he was hot. Him and Moylan got up in the seventh. You know, Bogarts had really good at-bats against Hamill all night long, but, you know, in that situation there in the seventh, we're going to let him go. He's, you know, throwing the ball really, really well and threw some great sliders to strike him out. But we like that bottom part of the order right there, you know, with the lefty matchup, and had Jack ready for the top of the order in case we got there.
Did you see Haas's dong last night?
Big dong.
Good Lord. Here Ned Yost talks about Hosmer's dong.
Yeah, they were both of those. Haas hit a bomb. I mean, that's a long way to center field where he hit it. And, you know, to give us the lead at that point. But, you know, Drew battling, you know, to get the triple there, especially in the seventh. And then Witt with a phenomenal at bat, just a grind at bat where he was just bound and determined to find a way to put the ball in play. And, you know, kept fouling the ball off down the right field line, staying on it, and then found a way to, you know, squeak it through the left side of the infield.
That's the interesting thing about Hosmer is that's his power stroke, is to, like, straight away to left center field. And, like, you know, a lot of the places that you think he'll end up, Boston or New York, it's like the deepest part of their ballparks. It's really weird.
What if he ends up in Kansas City?
I mean, that'd be great.
I want him to.
Yeah, I know you do. You think he will?
No.
You know, but you might have him for the rest of this year.
But I want him. I mean, I want him to. I mean,
of course you do. We all do.
Can't make me not want him to.
I'm not trying to make you not want him to.
There's some players I would like to leave, but he's not one of them. So.
Who do you want to leave?
I'm sure you could guess. Sure, you can pick one out with the 750 ERA. But, you know, we're not going to focus on that. We're going to focus on Haas and Moose. I want them all to stay. They're not going to stay. I get it. But I'm going to enjoy it while it's happening still. We're right in the middle of it. Are you in yet, or you have to get to 500?
No, I'm not in yet.
Not Taco yet. Salazar is tweeting about trading. Still trading.
Yeah.
He says the Indians are pulling away.
Are they?
They're about to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I want this to happen just so I could push you off the bandwagon and keep you off. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
How about the decision to come to KC?
All right, Trenny Kuznarek is coming up next to talk about the Royals and Red Sox, then Gary Lezak, then Jamie Bluma, and then maybe Todd Lebo to see if he wants to come in here and run that smart mouth. I love you, Todd, but you're very intimidating. Keep listening to WHB. Thank you.